this year. Yeah. Okay, today's shir is Dav Zayin and Bava Basra, and we're going to start two lines from the bottom on Vav Amud Beis, which is where the shir got up to yesterday. So up until this point, we were talking about people who live, neighbors who live either next to each other or one on top of the other, and now neighbors who live next to each other or a chutzar on top, next to a gag, a yard next to a roof. And now we're going to talk about neighbors who live on top of each other, or partners who live on top of each other. So we'll start reading the case. Two lines from the bottom. Hani Beitrei, Dahavi Darye. There were two people that were living in the same house, same structure. Chad Havi Darye Eloi, Chad Havi Darye Tisoi. One was living on top, and one was living on the bottom. And Rashi says we're talking about where they were brothers who divided up. This came to them in Yerusha, and they divided up. One took the aliyah, the upper part of the house, and one took the lower part of the house. And then Isvar, Bach puts in Is or Isvis Tisai. What happened is the walls of the bottom part of the house sunk into the ground, to the extent that the height of the ceiling of the person who lived in the lower part of the house was lower than it used to be. So Amar Lei Tisoi Le'eloi, so the bottom one said to the guy who lived upstairs, to the one man who lived upstairs, Tov V'Nivne, let's destroy the house and build it together. Meaning, we've got to fix up the house, the problems with the house. Amar Lei, so the one on top says, on a shaper kadarna, I don't really have a problem. Mine, I mean, it's sunk in a little bit, but as far as I'm concerned, I still have the same living arrangements that I had before. So he doesn't mind this situation. In fact, maybe it's even easier for him to get in the house. It's a little lower on the ladder that he usually climbs up to get in. Amar Lei, so the other one said, okay, you don't want to pay for it. Ivna ana. Right, the Bach takes out the word istra, just says ivna ana, which means I'll pay for all the expenses of rebuilding the house. I want to rebuild the house, and I'll pay for all the expenses. Omar, he said, Leslie duchta lamederba. Where am I going? I don't have a place to live while you go ahead and do that. So Omar Lei, he said back to him, ana ugalucha duchta. He says, I'll rent you a place. I'll find a place for you to live. Amar Lei, so he could say back to him, the one who's living upstairs, Lai Terachna, I don't want to be bothered. Meaning, it's a big hassle to move. Have to move all my chafesim, all my things, right? And he says, I don't want to move. The Rishonim, by the way, say over here that if, let's say, it's a situation where he doesn't really have anything in the house, that's a big hassle to move. There's no real tircha. He doesn't have anything. He happens to just maybe sleep there. He doesn't really have any stuff there. And so just going ahead and sleeping someplace else, I guess relatively close by, would not be a hassle for him. So then he cannot use this taina. He can't use this claim, because that would be midas taim. It's midas taim, and we'll have in the Gemara later, Yerus Hashem, Adaf Yud Bezum and Aleph, that we're kaifen al midas taim. If somebody has a hakpada, which there's no reason for him to have that, no reason for him to be particular about that, that's called midas taim. That's not doing something just because you just don't want to help the other person, even though there's no loss to you at all. So he said, but in most cases, there is a loss. It's a hassle to move. So it's considered a justified claim. Amar Lei, so now the other one said to him, but lo kamisterli. He says, I can't really live like this. So he say, and the Bach puts in the words Amar Lei. In other words, there are two Amar Leis that the Bach puts in. Amar Lei loika misterli. The one who lived on the bottom says, I can't live like this. And Amar Lei, and he responds to him, Shoifa kreischa viol v'shoifa kreischa bupuk. He says, you know what? You can go out seems like literally you can go out on your stomach. He says that's how you'll get out of the house, and you'll get out of the house, and that's how you'll come into the house. And that's how you'll come out of the house. You'll come out of the house on your stomach. So Rashi learns it means that you'll have to bend over. Now, as we're going to see, what Rashi explains is that the doorway, you know, the doorway is always less than the ceiling of any structure. So if the ceiling has caved in somewhat, the doorway is even worse. So the doorway even has less, he has to bend over even more to get in. So Rashi says it's talking about where he has to like bend over his back, and he has to walk in like a hunchback. And the one it says as long as you can do that, you know, so that's how you get in. And once you get in the house, you'll have a little bit more space. And we'll see what amount of space is not considered acceptable anymore. But he says, but that amount of space you'll have, and actually Taisus learns, it's even worse than that. Not only you have to bend over a hunchback, maybe the door, it's sunk in so much that the way the doorway is positioned, the only way he can get in and out of the house is he has to crawl on his stomach. And he says, and even that level, still, he doesn't have a claim to make the other one move out and rebuild the house. He has to accept the situation as it is. Amar Rav Chama, Bedina Kama Akiv, which is where Rav Chama now responded. He says, well, that's the problem. So he's right. The guy on top is right. It's his right to say that he doesn't want to rebuild the house. So Gemara says, Vahani Mili, but we put a qualification on this. Doloi Matik Shuri Lamata Me'asara. That's only if he has at least a ceiling, once he gets in the house, of 10 tefachim in height. Right, which isn't very much necessarily, but what about 18 inches, 18 to 24 inches? But he says, "Of a matik shuri lamata miasara." But if it already got under to 10 tefachim, matzi armalei. So then, the person on the bottom can say, "Lamata miyud rishus adidihu, v'loy mishabelucha." He said, "Under 10 tefachim is my rishus, and you're not, you can't. In other words, you don't have a right to have your upstairs be so far downstairs." And therefore, at that point, he has a right to help him, to force him to move out so he can rebuild the house. Question is, why do you need to get down? The Mefarshim ask, why do you need to get down to under 10 tefachim? I mean, if when they divided the house, let's say the ceiling was 30, let's say the ceiling was Dalet Amos high or something like that. So when he divided the house, that was his reshus. So as long as it sinks in even a small amount, he's already in his reshus. So why do we have to say it? It's 10 tefachim? So he's saying that because he said that they said it's part of the conditions of the partnership that the bias and the aliyah that's on top are meshubit. The bias is meshubit, has a shibud, has an obligation to the aliyah. And he's saying, and part of that is that even if there's some sinkage, and I guess maybe that's normal that there should be some sinkage of the house, still the one who lives downstairs has to let the one, can't disturb the one who's living upstairs. But once you got to the level of being less than 10 tefachim, so then he can't say that's already, he's going already into his property, and then he has a right to force him to move out of the house, to rebuild it. All right, Bahani Mili, and that's all talking to Layasne Gavi Adadi. This whole situation that the bottom guy's in is only because he didn't spell it out. In other words, they didn't make a tenai, he didn't make a condition that if things got to this point, that he could rebuild the house. Have a last name, Gavi Hadadi. But if, let's say, he specifically specified that should things get to whatever level he'll specify will be not acceptable anymore, but more than, in other words, if it sinks in, but it'll have, the ceiling will be more than 10 tefachim, if he then Sasri Ubani, then he could destroy the house and rebuild it. Then he has at least a right to force him to move out, to force him to go through that tircha. So now the Gemara goes on to say that if he does make this Tanai Ad Kama, until how much do they rebuild the ceiling? In other words, how do they, when they rebuild the house, what do they do? Amar Rabbanan Kameder Rabba Mishmet, that's the some change it to Rabba, Mishmet Mar Zutrabe Rav Nachman, there were Mishmet Rav Nachman, Kaisa Shoshanino, like we learned. And this is a Mishnah later on above Basra. Roimo kechatzi orko chatzi rochbo. You want to know how high to make the ceiling? The height of the ceiling is always half of the length and half of the width. And we get that, in other words, if somebody, there the Mishnah is talking about, and Amoicher Peiris, Gemara is talking about, if somebody's mekabel on themselves to build a house. So he has to make, it seems to be from all these, a lot of the cases we have in the Gemara, they didn't specify a lot of things when they made deals with each other, and then they had to, you had to understand what was the assumption, what's the assumed obligation. So if you make a, if somebody's mekabel, accepts upon himself to build a house, so he has to make the height like half of the length and half of the width, like the Heichel. The Heichel was 20 amos wide, and it was, 40 amos long and 20 amos wide, right? So if you add that together, that's 60, and a half, so you take half of that length and width together, and therefore the height of the Heichel was 30. So that's the way you build a house. You take the length and the width, and the height is half of that, half of the length and the width added together. Okay. So Amar Lei Rava, Amar Lehu Rava. Yeah, so now the question. All right, so either this was Rava and the other one was Rava. Anyway, Amar Lehu Rava, Lava Minalehu, Rava, Lava Minalehu, because it has Rava both ways. So he's saying, he says, Lava Minalehu, didn't I tell you? Lo sasilu buki sriki be Rav Nachman. Don't hang empty kalim on Rav Nachman. He would not say that in this case, this is not like the case where you're building a house from scratch. When you're building a house from scratch, and there was nothing spelled out, so then Romo has to be kachatzi arko, kachatzi rochbo. The height has to be half of the length and width added together. But in this case, you don't need that much. Achi Amar Rav Nachman. This is what Rav Nachman said in this case. This is what would be done if they spelled out that he has the right of rebuilding it if things get to a certain level of sinkage. Kedadari inshi. Says like people normally live. In other words, the other thing is a higher ceiling than normal. But this is all what he needs only when he rebuilds the house is Kedadari inshi. Vekama, how much is that? Amar Funa Breit Rav Yeshua Kihechi the Ali Usuraisa de Mechuza Vahadr. He can take bundles, it seems, of slats of wood, of Mechuza, the way they used to pack them, and of long slats of wood, and he can turn around on all sides. So he has enough height in the house to turn. They understood what this was exactly. And he has enough height to turn around. He has enough height to turn around completely. Okay. So, do we say what? All right. He says, all right. Doesn't say clearly exactly what that measurement is. All right. Hu Gavra. Now we have another story. Havi Bani Ashisa, which also involves Rav Chama. Hu Gavra, Havi Bani Ashisa, Achori Kavi Dechavri. He built a wall opposite the windows of somebody else. Somebody had a house, and he built a wall, which means he blocked off light from the other one's windows. And we're talking in a situation where the Mishnah says later on, the way Rashi explains it later on, is that if somebody had a chazaka for 3 years, that his windows were unobstructed, so then it's assumed that he has that right, and the other person doesn't have a right to build a wall within dalet amos, within 4 amos of his windows, to obstruct the light coming in, to obstruct the light, or possibly, well, at least the light coming into the windows, as we'll see. So he built this Ashisa Akori Kavi de Chavre. Kavi means windows. Amrle Kamafa Maflasalai. He says, you're darkening my house. I don't have light, natural light coming in. Amrle Sachrana Lachahacha Vadinala Kavi de Lel Miyushisai. He says, why don't you close up that window and make a window higher up? You make the window higher than my wall. In other words, he obviously still had room in the wall to do that. If you make the window higher up than the wall, so then you'll be able to, you'll have light. It's Amarle, Kamaris Leili Shisoi. He's saying, but if you're going to do that, he says, it's not good for my wall to have to do that. If I'm going to have to open up my window now at a higher part of the wall, it's going to shake the wall, it's going to make the wall less stable. Right? It seems like he doesn't say a claim. I don't know if that's good, that he says, I'd like to have this view, not the view of up there. But just the fact that he'll get the light that way, that should be enough. Amrle, so the other one, the one who built the wall, says, Sasarna lechol ashiska aduchta de kavoy. He says, I'll destroy your wall until the point of where the window is now. Ubeninala, avdina lechol kavoy, but binyon elel mishisoy. He says, what I'll do is I'll, I understand you don't want to open, so I'll destroy the whole wall from where that window was and build a new part of the wall. So it won't be like, there won't be a shaking on the wall now when you open the new windows. Amrlay, but he said back to him, Ashisha mitosoy atika. He said, Mielchada to Lekaim. He says, it's not a good way to make a wall. A wall that's going to have the bottom part from old material and the El, the upper part, Chadata from new material, Lekaim, not going to stand well. So Amrlay, so then he says back to him, Sasarnale Adliara. He says, I'll destroy it. I'll destroy the whole world. You don't want to have a wall that's half new and half old. I'll take that whole wall of the house and I'll rebuild it for you so the windows are higher, so that way I won't have to take down this wall, which obviously he wants. Amrlay, so he said back to him, the one who had the window, Chadashisa, Chadata Bekula Beis Atika Lekaimi. One Ashisa, one new wall with a house of all old walls, it's not gonna be good. It's not good for the house either. Amrlay, Sasarna Lecha Lekula Beis. So he says, you know what? I'll rebuild the whole house for you. Binyana Lecha Kavei Bibinyana. And I'll put the windows where I think that, where they would be, where it's better for me, high above my wall, so therefore you'll have your natural light, and therefore you have your problem. Amrlay, so then the one with the window said, Lesli Duchte Lameterber, where am I going to live while this is going on? Don't have a place to live. Amrlay, Agrana Lecha Duchte, I'll rent a place for you. Amrlay Loi Terachna. He says, I don't want to bother with moving. So this seems to Amar Rav Chama Bedin Kamakiv, and on this case Rav Chama said the one who has the windows is right, and the other one, since he had no right to build a wall there, he has to dismantle his wall, even though he wanted the wall there obviously very much. But he said that this guy who had the right of the windows has the right to resist. So Gemara says Hainu Hach. The Gemara's kashya is, isn't, what's the purpose of bringing down, isn't this story the same thing as the last story? Meaning basically when it comes down to it, we're saying that a person, this is considered a valid claim. I don't want to be bothered with moving. I have the right to stay where I am, and I don't want to be bothered with moving. Right, and the Mepharshim say the point can't be over here, why did Rav Chama paskin both of these cases? Because even if it's the same principle involved, perhaps both of these cases came to him. The second people asked him, they never knew about the first people. The question is, why we put it in the Gemara? In other words, what's the purpose of this story in the Gemara? Why the Mesader Hashas put it in? That's what the Gemara's question is. What do you need this for? So he says, Hakamashbalan, the Afagan the Lom Yishtamish Elativnu Utsivi Bialma. Even if, let's say, this wasn't really a place where he lived, this place where he wanted the windows. This was like a warehouse for straw or for tzivi, for wood, and he still wants the natural light, and he doesn't want to have to bother moving his stuff out of the house, even though it's not a place where he lives. Even that's enough of a claim to make the other guy have to take down the wall, and he can't rebuild his house. And Taisa says, even though there are some things that you learned maybe from the second case, the fact that with the new wall together going with the old wall, that those are valid claims, Taisa says those things were really pashut. Those things we didn't really need the second case. We could have figured that out from our own logic, that those are valid claims. He's saying, so the main point we want to say is that even though it wasn't used as a dwelling place, it's used just as a warehouse, he still has a right to say he doesn't want to be bothered moving. Okay. Right. And but again, if he has nothing stored there, then that would be considered, the Rishonim say, that would be Midas Stoim. Okay. That would be Midas Stoim then. All right. Hanu Bei Trei Achi. So now we're going to talk about another case of two brothers splitting up a Yerusha. Hanu Trei Achi, the Palgi Badodi, they split up. Bahadodi Hadodi, they split up a Yerusha. Chad Matya Splida. One took a asplida, seems like a nice mansion, according to the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos has a different shot. But first we'll just say, according to Rashi, v'chad matya tarbitza, and one got a garden. So azal huda matya tarbitza, so the one who took the garden as part of the Yerusha, v'kobani ashisa pumad asplida. And he built a wall blocking out the windows of the mansion. Amrlay, kamaflus alai. So the other guy said, you're making things dark for me. Amrlay said, bedidika binyonin. He says, what's the problem? He said, this is my property. I got the garden, so I can build a, I'm allowed to build a wall there to block out your windows. Amrav Chamas, Rav Chamas says, bedin karmalay. He says, actually, he says he's right. The one who built the wall over here has the right to say that he can build a wall. Actually, they ask a question over here. Chorid should start off the other way around. Didn't we learn earlier that there's hezek riyah in a gina? That an agina is worse than a chatzir. Agina, we said, even those who don't hold that there's hezek riyah from one chatzir to another, but an agina where you have your produce growing, the vegetables growing, you don't want a person to be able to, you want to have your privacy. So why over here does the one who has the mansion should be, if anything, it should be the opposite. Maybe he should be mechuyev to help him be mishtatif in building the wall, because he's not supposed to be able to look into his brother's gina. So they say between a trakolin and a gina, it's not normal to have a wall. In other words, and even the Mishnah, which said in a gina, that there's hezek riyah, but it says only if it's a makom where it's the minhag to have, to be makbet on the hezek riyah. But the Mishnah said in the beginning of the first Mishnah said, makom shenoigel ligdor. But if you have a place between something else and a gina, that's considered makom shenoigel ligdor, makom where it's you're noig to build a fence. But if it's between a gina and a trakolin, then it's not customary to build a fence, just not to be able to look out at the gina. It's not considered the same thing. All right, so the question is, he wanted to stop it because of the windows, because he's losing light from his windows. So Rav Chama said he's building in his own thing. All right, Bedin Kamar Rav Chama, Bedin Karmelay, he says, no, the one who built the wall in this case is right. Amarle Ravina Laravashi, Maishnami Hadatanya. So why is this any different? Why did Rav Chama paskin this way? Why did he decide the case this way? Why is this any different from what we learned in a Braisa? Shnei Achen Shecholku. You have two brothers who divided. Echad mehen notel steak harem, echad notel study loven. One took the vineyard, and one took the study loven, which could be a planted grain, or vegetables, or maybe other things called zroyim. So it says, Yeshul abalakarem, dalad amas bestay loven. He says, the balakarem, the one who owned the karem, the vineyard, he needs an extra dalad amas into the study loven. We're talking about a field where the karem and the study loven were planted, or the karam was planted right up to the border. So he's allowed to take dalad amas b'stei loven because he needs that room for plowing. The plowing that needed to be done in the karam. Shalmanas kein chilku, because it says on that condition, since it was understood that that's what the father had, so it's understood that that's what he should have also. So Amar Lei, so he told him, Hasam da'olul la'abdodi. He says over there, it's talking about, so Rav Ashi answered him. He says, over there it's talking about where they obviously, the way they made provision for that, meaning it was understood that however they divided up the Yerusha, so he took into account the fact that if you have a kerem, you need dalad amas across the border, because the way the kerem was situated was it was planted right up to the border. Right. Now, why do they don't need a fence because of klayim? That's another question. They said the Rambam says over here, there are cases where not everything is going to be klayim. Not every other min is going to be klayim with the kerem, at least according to the Rambam. So you have zroyim, certain zroyim that the Rambam mentions, there won't be klayim. So you could plant the kerem up to the border of the Sadeh Lavan. But he still needs dalad amas in order to be able to maneuver the plow. All right. He says that they took care of it. So that's what Rav Ashi answered back to Ravina. So Ravina says back to Rav Ashi, Abal hacha mai delay ol yadadi. They didn't settle this whole thing also. Are we talking about people who are, right, are shaitim, are not smart, stupid people? The high shakal, a split of high shakal, a beats of lo'ol adori. One takes the garden, one takes the mansion, and they didn't settle up. They must have made some other financial arrangement. The one paid the other one because one's clearly getting something that's more valuable. So, of course, they would have taken this into account as well. So, Amr Lay, so he says back to him, the heed the olol adori demei livni. Kishayri v'hadri. He's saying, we're talking over here about a case, and this is the way many of the Mefarshim understand it. We're talking over here about a case where they only settled up, meaning obviously the one who got the asplita, which we're saying is the trakl, and got something which was worth more in value. But they only settled up on the livni, kshayri, and hudri, meaning the bricks and the kshayri, the beams, and the hudri, and the ornamentals, parts of the asplita. But the me'avir aloy olaladoni. But they did not settle it with the case of the airspace was not something that was specific, and it specifically wasn't taken into account. And perhaps if it was specified, then he wouldn't be able to put up the wall to block off his windows. But we're saying it specifically wasn't necessarily taken into account. It wasn't taken into account, and that's why he has the right to build a wall. But let the brother who has the thing say, Meikaras plida palgasli, hashta mashvisli andraina. He says, I thought I was getting an asplida. Who would have an asplida? Who would have a mansion without, that's dark, that there's no natural light coming in? Hashta mashvisli andrana, meaning a dark place. So Amar of Simi Barashi, so to that claim he says, Shmo ba'alma polaglo. He says, no, he only gave you what, that's what it's called. It doesn't mean that he has to actually give you. He says, that's what it's called. It doesn't mean he actually has to give you all that comes along with that. Miloy Tanya, didn't we learn? This goes back to somewhere you had in the end of Bab Metzia. Amar beis kor ofra ani moichalocha. If somebody says, I'm selling you a beis kor offer. Now, a base core offer is the area of 75,000 square amas, because a core is 30. It's the amount of a sewer, the place to plant a saw is 25,000 amas. And then since a base core is 30 times as much, so that's 75,000 amas. So if you have, that's an area of 75,000 amas, which normally produces a core of a volume of tefua. So he says, if somebody says, I'm selling you base core offer, any moichel hav bishenu aletach, even though it's only half of that, aletach as a chatzi core higio, it's considered to be a valid sale. Shulay marchel ol shmab, udem iskari base core. All he did was sell him a name, and that field is called a base core. Or pardes any moichelucha, or somebody says, I'm selling you a pardes, hav bishen bo rimainim, even though there are no pomegranates in it, higio, shulay marchel ol shmab. All he did was sell him the name, udem iskari pardes, and that's what it's called. It's called a pardes. Or kerem any moichelucha, or he says, I'm selling you a vineyard, alpha pishengo fanam igiushul amachal elishma, udamiskari karma. So it's called a kerem. So in other words, so he's saying, so over here, that's not a claim. You want to claim that it doesn't function the way it normally does, but it's still called what it's called. So therefore, it should not be a problem. Right. So it, right, there's one point over, just a couple points here, but on the base core offer on Imarchalacha, Taisus says, why don't you just look at what the money was? Why don't you just examine what the money was? He gives two different answers. One answer is that he gave him a big bargain, and it's not even the price of a letach, so you can't tell from the money. You can't tell from the money how much of a bargain he gave him. It doesn't even approach the price of half of the core. Or another answer is that the truth of the matter is he gave him the money of a letach. But if not for the fact that he has a field that's called a base core, and many of the Mefarshim say he has to know that the lokeach, the buyer, has to know that there was a field that was called a base core. So then if he knows that, he could say, if there would be no field that's called a base core, he could say, even though it's true, I only paid you for a letech, but since you don't have a field that's called a base core, so either give me a base core or give me back my money. But if he does have a field that's called a base core, even though he only paid, and it's only a letech, and he paid for a letach, so then he has the right to give it to him. All right, so he says, Amrle, adaita hachi palgi, the darna bek hechid adora avosim. So he says, skipped a line here. He says, me dummy. He says, you can't compare the two cases. Hasa matzi amrle, moichalo keach shmaz vina lecha. Over there, the lokeach, the mocha could say, lokeach, yeah, that's what I sold you that name. And even though that's what people call it, even though it's only has produced only its area of a letech, but it has the name base core, or that's called a pardes, even though it doesn't produce remainim. Hacha matzi amrle, but over here you could say adait hachi palgit adarni bake echad adora avosin. Says I split it on this way, meaning that I'm going to live here like our father lived here, just like the father lived here, and he didn't have a wall blocking the window. So even though it's true you have this. Even though it's true you have this svara that we saw before, that if it's called by that name, it's good enough, even though it doesn't function totally that way. It's not the same area, or it doesn't have rimonim. But over here he says, I want to live here the way the father lived. So how could Rav Chama paskin this way that he can leave up the wall? So Amrulay, he said, Maryanuka, Markshisha, Breda Rav Chizdu, Ravashi, they said to Ravashi, Nadar Letaimayu, Yom Rav Nachman, Yom Rav Shmuel, this is Nardoi, and Rav Chama comes. Rav Chama was from Nahardoa, and this was the Hashkof in Nahardoa. Yom Rav Nachman, Yom Rav Shmuel, Ha'achin Shecholku, brothers who divide up property, Ein lehen lo derech zel zeh, v'lo yicholono zel zeh. They don't have a derech on each other. Let's say even though the father obviously had the right to go through a chutzer to get to his property, but if one takes the bayis and one takes the chutzer, so then it could be assumed that he did not give him, it's assumed that he gave it, one brother gave him over what the other one had, ba'ayin yofu, with its full rights. Which Taisus says it's really dependent on a machloikis that later on, that we say whether you sold something ba'ayin yofu. So therefore it's assumed that even though the father had these rights, but when they divide it up and he gives them the chutzer, so then he doesn't have a derech. So how's he going to get to his house? He has to pay the brother. He has to settle up with him. They don't have windows. They can't complain about this, like windows, about closing up the air, even though that's something the father probably would not have done. But since they're now dividing up the property, those are the rights that they have. They don't have a sulam. Let's say one lives in an attic. Let's say one took, the way Rashi says, one took a bayis and a chutzir, and the other one took the aliyah, the upstairs. He doesn't have the right to put a ladder in the chutzir. And they say it's talking about, if it would be built in, then perhaps he would have the right. But if the way that it was done was a ladder was placed there, or below emes hamayim zelzeh, where there was a channel of water that was sometimes put there by the father, so then they don't have those rights. They would have to settle up with each other to pay them. So he says his natural right over here is that he could put up a wall to block the window. And he says, be careful in this. These are halachas kavuas. These are set halachas. That this is the way it works. And Rav Amar, Bach changes the gersa to Rav Amar. Rav says, yesh lahen. No, he does have that right. He does have the right to. He does have the right to these things that the father had. But Rav Chama holds he doesn't have the right. It goes to him according to the way the father had it. One question that they ask on the Kasha originally from the Rishonim ask on the whole Kasha originally from the case of Beis Kor Ofer is that it would seem, what is exactly the comparison? Because over there, that's what it was called originally. And over here, he changed something after he already gave him, after they split it up. After he gave him a mansion with the airspace around the window, later on he put up a wall. So they say, isn't that similar to the situation of where if let's say he sold him a partis and there were rimonim there and he took away the rimonim. Isn't this like taking away the rimonim? So the Ritva says, the truth of the matter is really the reason why this is permitted is because he's building in his own property. It's not like he's taking away the rimonim in this case. It's only that it happens automatically because he puts up a wall, so he has less light. He says that maybe there would still be a reason to say you can't do it because it's taken away from the name of what he had. So from that, you're bringing a proof that even if it has that name, even though it's not exactly that thing, it's considered to be that thing. All right, we said Aspli de Rashi learns it means a trakel in Taisus has a different because of Kashas, which we won't get into now, says that it means an achsadra, which means it was like an open porch with one wall open. Because okay. All right, so let's go to the next case. The next case is also a case of Rav Chama. One more thing, Mar Yanuka, Mark Shisha. So Taisa says, by the way, Mar Yanuka, they were both sons of Rav Chisda. And Mar Yanuka was the older one. You might have thought some people said the opposite. Mar Yanuka is the older one because he was born when Rav Chisda was young, and Mar Kashisha was the younger one. The one who they called Mar Kashisha is really the younger one, not the older one. All right. Who shtar the Asmi the Nofik Alay Tavr? There was a shtar of the Yosoimim that had a receipt come out against it. Amar Rav Chama Agvuyalo Magvin Alay. In other words, what happened was the Yosoimim, they inherited a accounts receivable from their father, meaning that he has a chov, a debt that somebody owed him. And then when they tried to collect that chov, that debt, so the lova produced a receipt. Amar Rav Chama Agvuyalo Magvin Alay. He says, I won't collect with the shtar because of the receipt. Umikra lo makarin alay, but I also won't rip up the shtar either. I won't assume that the shtar is not valid because of the receipt. Agvuyalo Magvin Alay to Nafik Tavro Alay. He says, I won't collect with it because there's already a receipt. And mikra lo karin alay, he says, because I won't rip it up either. Because when the Yisoyimim get to be older, Dilma Maisi Raya Umarili, maybe the Yisoyimim will find a Raya and they'll make a Reyesa in the Tavrit. They'll find out it was a forged receipt. Amalei Rav Acha Bereda Rava LeRavina. So the question is, presumably we're talking about a receipt that was Mekuyim, and the Edim testified that it was their signatures, but they say there's still a possibility of forgery because of the fact that maybe sometimes some people have the same signatures. Anyway, Amalei Rav Acha Bereda Rava LeRavina Hilchasamai. He says, what's the halacha? Amalei Bekuli Hilchasa Karav Chama LeBar Mitavri. He says, you know, we pass like Rav Chama in all the cases that we just said till now, by the destroying the house and by being able to build the wall by the window, but not by this case of the receipt. The Sadi Bishakri Lomach Zakinin. We don't assume that a receipt is invalid. They produce a receipt. There's no reason to not rip up the shtar. So Marzut Rabbi Rav Mori Omra Baha Nami Hilchasak Rav Chama. He says, no, the halacha is like Rav Chama even in this case. The Misa de Tabra Ma'al Yehu. He says, because if you said that it was really a good receipt, Iboila Lafuke Bechayavun. The fact that this receipt only turned up after the father died makes it somewhat suspicious. From the fact that it wasn't produced until now, so that could be a proof that there was some forgery involved. So therefore, this is not a clear situation, because even though we normally don't assume that a shtar is forged, in this case the receipt, but he said, but since this never showed up in previous attempts at collection, it only showed up now, so we want to wait till the Yisoyimim get older to see how they'll deal with this case. Okay. Next Mishnah. Kaifanasai Livnois, Mishnah Zayinam Adbeis. Kaifanasai Livnois, Bayes Shar Videlis Lechotzer. It says we are Kaifan, we force him to build a Bayes Shar Videlis Lechotzer. We force him to build a gatehouse and a wall for the Chotzer. Rav Shim Gamliel Omer, Laikala Chatzeris Ruyas Lebeis Shar. Not all Chatzeris need a Bayes Shar. We'll explain what this means in the Gemara. He says we force him to build for the city chayma v'dalsayim u'beriach. We force the members, those who live in a... First case was talking about people who live in a chatzer, and now we're talking about dwellers in the city, the citizens of the city. We force them to contribute for the wall and for doors u'beriach and a lock. He says, no, not all cities need a wall either. You can't necessarily force him to build a wall. Not all chatzeris, he said, need a beis shar, need a gatehouse, and not all cities need a chayma, a wall. Kama yehe be'ir ve'yekan she'ir. How many people, how long does a person have to be in the city, and he should be considered like a dweller of the city? Yud beis chaydish. He has to be there for 12 months. Kana be'beis dira, but if he buys a house there, and it seems like he wants to settle there. Hareo kan she'ir miyad. And he didn't buy a house just for a temporary measure. He buys a house there, then he's kan she'ir miyad. But if he's renting, so then we're saying that he's not considered to be a dweller in the city. He's not considered to be a dweller in the city until such time as he's there for 12 months. Okay. All right, so start the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Lameimer de Beis Shar Mal Yusi." So it seems to be the fact that you could force the people in the Chotzer to have to put up a Beis Shar. Now, this Beis Shar, by the way, seems to be put up, as Rashi says, the reason for putting it up is to prevent people of the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, people of the public who lives outside the Chotzer. The Chotzer was shared by various houses, and this is to prevent people from who live outside the chutzner from looking into what goes on in the chutzner. So they would have a beis shar, and the way Rashi explains it is they would have a beis shar, which was a place they would hire a watchman to drive away the bnei rishus harabim to look into the chutzner, and the beis shar would be the place where the shomer would sit, where the watchman would sit. So he says, lemeimer did a beis shar, the fact that you can force the people in the chutzner, according to the Tanakhama, to build the beis shar, that means it's a mal yusihi. It's considered to be an advantageous thing to have. Ibu Chasida, there was a chassid, a person, Davi Rogel Eliyahu Davi Mishtoi Bahadei, says Eliyahu was Rogel to speak to him, Eliyahu HaNavi, so it means he was a very righteous individual, but Ovid Beis Shar, he says he made a Beis Shar, Vesulo Mishtoi Bahadei, and he says once he made a Beis Shar, which prevented the Aniyim, poor people from coming in, and you couldn't hear them. Let's say they're knocking on the door or they're screaming, I'm here to collect money. So he made it harder for them to collect money in the chutzir. And once that happened, Eliyahu HaNavi stopped coming to him. Because they say the meat of Eliyahu HaNavi is to be marachim on poor people and to send a bracha in their mezainas. And by doing this, Eliyahu HaNavi didn't come to him anymore. So you see that whether you're not supposed to do this, or maybe it's a midas chassidus not to do it, even if it's not exact halacha, but how can somebody force somebody else to do something which you see is not a good thing overall? So that's the Gemara's kasha. How can the Mishnah say that the Bnei Chatzar can force the other ones to build a Beis Shar? So Gemara says, like kasha, ha mi givoy, ha mi avroy. Depends where the Beis Shar was. If the Beis Shar was on the inside, so then, and you have a door, so then it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. Because the Ani is going to cry out, and the Beis Shar inside, the Ani, in other words, you have a Beis Shar and you have a Delis, and the Ani is going to cry out, and you won't be able to hear him. But Hami Avroi, but if the Beis Shar, the place where the Shomer sits, is outside the Chatzar, and it doesn't have a door, there's no door, so then the Ani can walk, he can walk right in. Or the Ani could, any Ani could walk right in. Okay, Vibayasema, there are some who say, Hava Hami Avroi. There are some who say, no, it could be both cases are talking where the Beis Shar is outside. Leikasha, Hadis Leidelis, Hadales Leidelis. In a case where it has a door, so then it's not a good thing. Because then the Ani cannot go in the door, and he's going to stand outside the Beis Shar, and people won't hear him. But if there's no door, and he could walk in, so then it won't be a problem. Okay. Or another way to say it is, both cases are talking about where there is a door. And the Beis Shar is outside the Chatzir. One is talking about a situation where there's a lock. In other words, the door is locked, so the Ani cannot open it to get into the Chatzir. But if there's no lock, so he could walk through the Beis Shar that's outside, and then he'll be able to get into the Chatzar. Yibayasema, or another way to say it is, Havaha Dislei Pasachas. He says both cases are talking where there was a lock. The Laikasha Hapasechas Didei Migavoy, Hapasechas Didei Miavroy. And the other case is talking about, one case is talking about where the opening, you could only open the lock from the inside. So that's not going to be good. Because then even though the Beis Shar is outside, but you have a door, the Ani will not be able to get into the Chatzir. And he won't be able to be heard. But if it's, if the opening is on the outside, meaning he can just open the door, so then he has a way to get into the Chatzir just by opening the door. Obviously, there must be a way to open it from the inside as well, but we're saying that there's a way as well to open it from the outside. All right. Next Gemara. Kaifanus aluvnus beis shar v'delis l'chatzir. So we're quoting the first lines of the Mishnah. You can force the Bnei Chatzir to build a beis shar, a gatehouse for the shomer to sit, to keep the hezekria from the chatzir, and a delis, also a doorway for the chatzir. Tanya reshim galmi leikal ha-chatzir suyus beis shar. He says, not all chatzeris need a beis shar. This is Rav Shim Gamliel's opinion. El chatzir smuchel rishus harabim. Only if the chatzir opens up to rishus harabim, ruil beis shar. V'sheinu smuchel rishus harabim, ain't ruil beis shar. If it's not near rishus harabim, it's near a place which is less of a public domain, so then it's not necessary, and therefore you cannot force the people who live in the chatzir to contribute to such a thing. Rabbanan say, zimnen the dachi b'nei rishus harabim. Rabbanan say, sometimes the b'nei rishus harabim push over there, v'ayilu v'asu, and they're still going to come in. So that's why they say, still you could have the public there, even if it's not open to a quote-unquote rishus harabim, and that's why you could force them to have to contribute. All right, so until now we were talking about a beis shar and a delis for a chatzir, where there the purpose of it is to prevent hezek riyah, to prevent people of the Bnei rishus harabim from looking into the chatzir. Now we're going to talk about measures for the city, where people of the city have to contribute. And like we said, if they're there for 12 months, they have to contribute. Or if they buy something, if they buy a house in the city and we know that they're intending to stay, then they have to contribute right away. So Rav Shimon Eliel Amar Loi Kol Ayrius Ruyus L'Chaim. Rav Shimon Eliel, again, we bring down this disagreement. He says, not all Tanya. Actually, the Bach puts in Tanya Rav Shimon Eliel Oimer, takes out the parentheses, and puts in Tanya Rav Shimon, not the Bach, the Maseres HaShas. Tanya Rav Shimon Eliel Oimer Loi Kol Ayrius Ruyus L'Chaim. Not all cities are Roy for the Chaim. Eliir HaSmuchel Esfar. Only a city that borders, only a city that's on a border district, Ruyus L'Chaim. V'shein HaSmuchel Esfar, ain't a Ruyus L'Chaim. So this, the purpose of this, what we're talking about right now, the wall and the doors and the lock on the city, on the wall, to make a walled city, is not to prevent Hezek Ria, but rather it's to prevent, it's a security measure. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you only have to do that in a city that's close to a border district. But a city that's not close to a border district does not need a choyma. Rabbanan disagree. They say, Zimli the Mikra Yossi Gai. So they say, still a problem. It's possible that an invading army could still get to that place, and therefore that's why it's still a concern. Okay. By minei Rav Elezer mi Rav Yochanan. Rav Elezer had a question to Rav Yochanan about this halacha. Kishehen goyven lefina fashas goyven adim lefish machmaman goyven. When they collect, do they collect according to, does everybody person have to pay an equal amount, or maybe they divide it up according to how much money, the monetary situation of people. Amarlei lefi mamon goyven, he says no, they collect according to the money. Lezer bini kavabo masmeris, and he said kavabo masmeris, he set this halacha in stone that the way the collection should be done is based on the amount of money people have, and not based on that everybody, in other words, and the, those who have more money are going to give more. Now, this is not a social legislation, as the Rishonim explained. This is based on Rav Elezer's suffix when he asked this question to Rav Yochanan, was based on the fact that what's the security measure that we need? Are we worried about people's lives? Are they coming to kill people? And if they're coming to kill people, so then you have to pay according to the amount of. Everybody, it doesn't make a difference, rich or poor, everybody has to pay equally because everybody has the same problem. Or do you say it has to do with the money factor? If it has to do with the money factor, so then the usher, the rich person who has stands more to lose, has to pay more for this security feature than the ani. All right, he says, what's the reason why the geisos come? What's the reason why these invading armies come? And the answer was they primarily come for money. They don't really come to kill people. And Taisa says, even though we know the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that somebody who invades somebody's house, you can kill him because, in other words, he's nidon al shem seifo. Well, because, in other words, what he does, he's considered to be somebody who's dangerous, who could kill you, and therefore you have the right to kill him because a person will stand up to, a person will sometimes risk his life to save his money. But that's a decision that a person makes. The person makes a decision, in other words, that's human nature that a person may do that. But the fact of the matter is, if you give them what they want, they won't harm anybody. And in the main, they're coming for money. They're not coming to harm anybody physically. So therefore, that's why you do this collection according to Mamonis. Okay, the Ritva says there's another way of saying. He knew that most of them times they come for money. But he says, but since sometimes they do come because they want to kill people, so perhaps you should be goyvel lefi nefashis. The answer is you collect lefi mamon, you go based on the rove, according to the Ritva learned the Gemara. Ikidi Amri. There are those who say the question was different. Do they collect lefi kirav batim, or do they collect lefi shvach mamon goyvin? Sarsa Shas puts in the word Lefi shvach mamon goyven. Amar lei, so he answered him, Lefi kirov batim hein goyven. They collect according to the proximity of the houses. So one way to learn this is that, this Ikad Amri says that you only collect according to the proximity of the houses to the wall. Those houses which are closer to the wall are more susceptible to the raid of the invading army. Elezer b'ni, kavabam masmeris, and Elezer b'ni, again, he says he set this in stone that you collect according to kirav batim. All right, so many say that this is only depends what type of He said this is talking about when things are relatively b'shalom. But if you're talking about a wartime situation, then it wouldn't really make a difference about kirov batim. Another thing the Mefarshim, many Rishonim though learn this question as not as a straight question whether you collect according to kirov batim or you collect according to shvach mamon, but rather whether you take both things into account. In other words, and this is the way Rabbeinu Tam learns it in the second to last Taisus, that the aniyim that are closer will have to give more than the rechaikim. And the ashirim, the poor people that are closer, have to give more than the far-off people. And the ashirim that are closer are going to have to give more than the far-off ashirim. But the ashirim, rechaikim, but ashirim end up actually giving more than even the aniyim kroivim, because you're still doing l'shvi shvach mamon. In other words, ashirim are always going to give more than any aniyim, but the question is whether you have another way of figuring it out based on the kirov batim, based on the proximity of the houses to the wall. Okay. Rav Yehuda Nesi Aromei Deshura Adar Abonin. Rav Yehuda said that for this security tax, to prevent, as we're saying, the mamon from being taken, he put this tax also on the Rabbanan, on the Talmidei Chachamim. Amar Le Reish Lakish, Rabbanan Lo Srichan Et Yerusa. He says, the Rabbanan should not have to pay this tax. They don't need Shmira. Dichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Asapreim Mechol Yirbun. Asaprim leman means I'll count you. You're more than the sand. This is a pasuk in Tehillim. Ilei mele tzadikim. If it's talking the nefishim mechalid, it means that tzadikim are more than sand. Hashakul Yisrael k'sibuhu k'chol asher sfas hayon. It says the entire klal Yisrael. It says only like the sand of the sea. Tzadikim atzman v'chol yirbun. How can you say that tzadikim themselves are more than the sand? Elohachi kamer. Asaprim lemaiseim shel tzadikim. I'll count the deeds of the tzadikim, the good deeds mechol yirbun. They're greater than the sand. The maisim of the tzaddikim, the kal v'chomer, and it's a kal v'chomer. Umar choyl shemu et magen al hayam, maseim shal tzaddikim, the chol, the sand which keeps back the ocean, and it's less than the maseim shal tzaddikim. Maseim shal tzaddikim shem aruvim loikol shekein shemaginim aleim. If the sand could protect us against the sea, even though it's less than the maseim shal tzaddikim, the good deeds of the tzaddikim, so they definitely could certainly also be magin on it, could prevent our security measure. Meaning the maseim shal tzaddikim of the talmidei chachamim, we're saying in this case, are security measure in and of themselves. It's interesting in Shulchan Aruch they paskin what type of talmid chacham doesn't have to pay the tax. It says a talmid chacham who is first of all somebody who's known, the Rama says, somebody who's known to know Torah. You could ask him in any place and he's able to answer. But they also say it means he's learning all the time. But they put a qualification on it, means doesn't mean he doesn't make a parnasa. Could mean that he makes a parnasa, but in every he only makes spends time on working to the extent that he needs for his basic needs and maybe a little extra that he can have savings, like the Shach says in Reish Mem Gimel. But he doesn't go further. He doesn't work more than that, and he spends his spare time always involved in Torah. Such, that's the type of Talmud Chacham that has my saying that he doesn't need the shmira of pain. Guess like Hamid Rav Yechanan, Amar Lei my time alusay Malei Miho. Why do you have to go to a pusik? It seems to be, why do you have to go to a pusik where you have to bring a kal v'chomer? Why don't you go to this pusik to say that the Talmid Chachamim, the Rabbanan, don't need to pay for the security tax in the city? It says, Ani Chomer v'shadai k'migdol, it's the pusik in Shir Hashirim. Ani Chomer zu Torah. That's Torah. But Shaddai Kemigdolos says Torah is a wall, but Shaddai Kemigdolos Eidei Talmidei Chachamim. That's the Talmidei Chachamim, meaning Migdolos over here is, they're like a Migdol, they're like a tower to protect. So the Gemara answers, Reish Lakish Sarva Lekidur Darsh Rava. Reish Lakish holds like what Rava said. Ani Chayme Zuknes Yisrael V'Shaddai Kemigdolos Eilu Bati Kenisios V'Bati Midrashos. He has a different way of understanding the Pasuk. He says Ani Chayme refers to Klal Yisrael, and the Shaddai Kemigdolos is not referring to the Talmidei Chachamim, but rather it's referring to Bati Knesios and Bati Midrashos. And therefore, we don't have from this pasuk a proof that the Talmidei Chachamim don't need Shmira. So he brings it from the pasuk in Tehillim Asaper Mechol Yirbun. This concludes today's shir, three lines from the top on Dav Ches Amud Aleph. Perfect timing. Was it 54 minutes?